welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I used to really enjoy watching this couple back in the day when they'd be on TV doing their thing. They look so happy. Singing about love. The married couple, the then happily married couple, Captain and Tennille. Love will keep us together. It was cool when they'd each be playing their keyboards, pianos. Tennille doing her singing. Yeah, with your heart and you won't hear a sound. Just stop, stop, cause I really love you. Stop, stop, I'm thinking of you. Look in my heart and let love keep us together. Whatever. Yeah, that's what it is about today, ladies and gentlemen. At least first part of this first hour. Married couples, happy couples. Here's the question. When married couples are happy couples, what's contributing to that happiness? Medical News Today is going to share with us something that I think you might find surprising. When married couples are happy couples, would you believe genes may have a discernible impact on the quality of a marriage, according to a recent study of couples in their middle and later years? How many of you married couples are in your middle years? How many of you have gone beyond the middle year stage and you're in your later years? You know, I truly believe that even if marriage has been bad the first years, the early stages of the marriage, even if the marriage has been bad in the middle ages, the middle stage of the marriage, with God's help, marriage can still become good in the later stage of the marriage. Now, I'm not saying everyone should absolutely hold on forever. End of story. That's not what I'm saying. Some of you have heard me say before, don't let go too soon, but don't hold on too long. And then when the marriage is not going well, don't let go too soon, but don't hold on too long either. And sometimes you just know when it is time to let go. Someone is physically abusing you, threatening to kill you. You know, when it comes to sexual impurity, infidelity, adultery, even if the person isn't physically abusing you, as we normally think of physical abuse, there you have a right to be concerned about sexually transmitted diseases coming into the picture, even to the point of being something like HPV, HIV. So, I'm not saying hold on no matter what. Some of you have heard some of the experts who have come on the program, and I've spoken with several psychologists and others who have said sometimes you just need to let go. Some marriages just are not worth holding on to. But they like to try to help the couple work through whatever issues may be getting in the way of a good marriage to the extent that they can. So, there you have it. Married couples, when they are happy couples, what is contributing to that happiness? We've talked about a number of contributing factors in the past, but let's look at these genes now. The gene factor. Yes, we are talking G-E-N-E-S and not J-E-A-N-S. Wife like looking at seeing her husband in some jeans that really flatter his body, and the husband likes looking at his wife in a pair of jeans that flatters her body. We're not talking about that kind of jeans this time. No, the kind you're born with. Check this out. New research suggests that being happily married may have less to do with chance and more to do with genes. Researchers at the Yale School of Public Health in New Haven, Connecticut, investigated how a gene variant that influences the so-called love hormone, which one am I talking about? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me talk about this before a number of times. Give it to me, please. The love hormone, so-called. The love hormone, which one are they talking about? I'm going to let you fill in that blank for me. I'll come back to it later, see how many of you will have given me the right answer. But they investigated how a gene variant that influences that so-called love hormone might contribute to marital satisfaction and security. How many of you long to feel secure in your relationship? By the way, speaking of feeling secure in relationships, ladies, a lot of you know intuitively what a lot of men also know based on discussion. And when I say discussion, what people have talked about and written about over the years. And that is that the same way women want to feel secure in their relationships, men want to feel secure in their relationships too. So unless you two have agreed that adultery is going to be part of the way you live, whether you swing openly or whether it's just agreed that when you two aren't together, you each do what you want to do. No questions asked, no judging. That's just the way you live. Unless you have agreed that adultery is going to be part of the way the two of you live, each of you really wants the other to be faithful to him or her. And to the extent that you either know your partner will not be faithful to you, or your partner gives you good reason to suspect that they are not faithful to you, you don't feel secure in their relationship. The same is true for men as for women. Feeling secure in a relationship is important. Feeling secure in a relationship is part of the joy of the relationship. When the two of you live in such a way as to make it obvious that you are worthy of the trust that you want your partner to have in you. The wife is worthy of the trust she wants her husband to have in her. The husband is worthy of the trust that he wants his wife to have in him. Both partners are worthy of the trust that they want their partner to have in them. That leads to security, marital security. Now, you can adjust to not feeling secure in the marriage. It doesn't mean you're going to be okay with it. It doesn't mean you'll be happy about the marriage despite the lack of security based on lack of faithfulness. Mm-mm. It's just that you can get to a point where you just decide, hey, you know what? I don't really like this situation, but I'm going to do one of two things, live with it or not live with it. If I decide I'm not going to live with it, I'm going my own way. I'm going my separate way. We're going our separate ways. But if I'm going to live with it, then I'm going to figure out how to live with it. And then it becomes important that the person who's living with the madness of their partner understand that their partner's madness is not a reflection necessarily of them, the one who is being faithful. The partner's unfaithfulness is often a reflection of the partner. Now, sometimes, we've talked about this before, sometimes the person who is being unfaithful, if a person is being unfaithful, there may be something that the other one is doing to contribute to that. Sometimes you have one partner who may not be unfaithful, but they are abusive. Emotionally and or physically abusive. And believe me when I say, I truly believe that the prevalence of female abusers is greatly underestimated. And I do mean greatly underestimated. Females have a way of some clever ways of being abusive and hiding the fact that they're being abusive. I think that females do, in fact, I know females do a much better job of throwing a rock and hiding their hand than men do. Partly because although you're going to have men who want to hide what they do, I think that that's much more important to men, I'm sorry, to women than it is to men, to hide what they do. And women are just better at presenting themselves as being sweet and innocent, even when they're as guilty as the day is long, than men are. And some of it just has to do with the way women are physically made. It has to do with their voices. It has to do with the way women conduct themselves. Women are just better at making themselves come across as being sweet and innocent when they can be as abusive and as untrustworthy. And I'm saying this based not only on observation, but what started with hearing women say to me since I was a child, you got to watch women. And women would start telling me, and some girls too. And when I say girls, teenagers, when I was a teenager, some of my female teenage friends would tell me, you got to watch girls because, and they start telling me how cunning females are. Grown women would be telling me the same thing. And so finally, don't get me wrong, I never challenged them on what they were telling me. I never disagreed with them on what they were telling me. I just wondered why they thought the way they thought. Why are they so suspicious of females? Why are girls so suspicious of other girls? Got older and women are saying the same thing. Why are women so suspicious of women? And they would be telling me why. How clever women are, how cunning women can be. And so as time went on, I began to pay more attention to women. I began to watch women more closely. And over time, I began to realize, wow, they were right. And again, now, I did not disagree with them. I just chose not to draw a conclusion one way or the other as to what these women, these girls and these women were telling me was right or wrong. I chose not to draw a conclusion. I chose to just keep an open mind and do what they were telling me to do. Watch. That's why I say, it is not a given that a man is going to feel secure in a relationship, because the same way women know intuitively that men want to feel secure in the relationship. And a lot of women have no problems making the man feel insecure in the relationship. A lot of men know intuitively that despite conventional wisdom that teaches us that all females are just automatically going to be sweet, innocent, loving, faithful. I think a lot of men just know intuitively that that's not true. And so can feel insecure and not really know why. These researchers investigated how a gene variant that influences the so-called love hormone might contribute to marital satisfaction and security. They invited 178 married couples aged between 37 to 90 years of age to complete surveys about their feelings of satisfaction and security in their marriage. Each volunteer also gave saliva samples for genetic testing. The results showed that when at least one of the partners in a couple carried a particular version of a gene that's related to the love hormone. Got to give it to me now. I'm going to be expecting you to tell me what that hormone is called. Both partners reported greater marital security and satisfaction when at least one, it didn't even have to be both of the partners, if just one of the partners in that couple carried a particular version of this gene related to the love hormone, then both partners reported greater marital security and greater marital satisfaction. The first author, Dr. Joan Monin, who's an associate professor of public health, said that the study shows that how we feel in our close relationships is influenced by more than just our shared experiences with our partners over time. In marriage, people are also influenced by their own genetic predisposition and by their partner's genetic predisposition. The genetic predisposition of love. All right, when I come back, tell me the name of that love hormone that's a part of this mix.